Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
One of the things I love about thinking about photography is that it oftentimes bumps us up against some rather basic stuff that at the same time is so taken for granted that we miss the fact that there are alternatives. A great example of that was photographer Kim Kaufman back in Lenswork Extended number 84 with a project called Florilegium, one of my favorite things we've ever published, for the simple reason that she made these photographic images without a camera. But nonetheless, they are optical images. They're not, you know, gum bichromate contact prints of leaves, which can be a lot of fun, but her project is completely different than that, because what she did was take flowers, blossoms, plants, various botanicals, laid them on top of her scanner, and scanned them. Ended up being a fascinating body of work and a technique that she explored with other subject material too. Very creative thinking. How do we get outside of our normal habitual ways of thinking and do something that might be interesting and exciting and open up new doors? And that's what I want to talk about today, in particular when it comes to the shape that we use for our photographs. I'm calling this podcast Beyond the Rectangle, because rectangles are probably, I don't know, I wouldn't be surprised that they're 99.99% of all photographs made. They're either rectangles or squares, so maybe I should more accurately call these quadrilateral images. And I'm not sure why. I have a suspicion that photographs are square or rectangles because it's relatively easy to cut in a straight line and very complicated to cut in a curve or an arc or some other shape. And so when it came time to making film for cameras or glass plates for cameras or tins for tin types, it was almost a default to go to some form of rectangle or square in order to make the picture. Maybe there's an influence from the world of painting too, because paintings tend to all be quadrilaterals of one kind or another. Not all of them, but most of them are. But for whatever reasons that I don't know from what little I know about the history of photography, it can't be denied that most pictures are quadrilaterals, rectangles or squares. Sometimes we can do something to the edges of the photographs by, for example, tearing the paper rather than cutting it. Or I was looking just the other day at some friend's old snapshots from when she was a youngster, and they had that sort of scalloped edge that was very popular in the 50s and 60s. But that's still a kind of cutting. It's just a little fancier cutting and seems sort of dated now. But even if a snapshot has the scalloped edge that we used to get from processed images from the drugstore, it's still roughly in a square or rectangle shape. And that has sort of defined the basic shape of photographs from the very beginning. But isn't it interesting that that's not the shape that cameras make? That is to say, camera lenses, to be specific, make. We photographers have quadrilaterals on the brain. But why? The world is not quadrilateral. The image that our lens casts inside the camera, of course, is a circle. Why not compose in circles or ovals or other shapes? Are we prisoners of the straight edge ruler? I can perfectly well understand how someone 50 years ago might have really struggled to make a photograph that wasn't a square because of this cutting business. Really difficult to hand cut a perfect circle or an oval or an odd shape. Even something that's odd with straight lines like a star shaped is still difficult to cut with accuracy, and so we almost never see that. But we don't live in that age anymore. We live in the age of computers, and one of the things that we can do with computers is make non-rectangular shapes in our photographs incredibly easily. If you're not familiar with the world of vector graphics, then maybe it's time that I introduce the idea. A vector graphic is a shape that can be drawn in Photoshop, in layout software like InDesign. All of them have the ability to create a shape that's not a square, and then we can take our image and put it inside that shape, and the photograph becomes the shape. The outside edge of the image, in other words, is defined by the vector graphic shape we've drawn using the pen tool in Photoshop or InDesign. And that pen tool is incredibly powerful, that can make any shape you want. Perfect ovals, perfect arcs, perfectly bilaterally symmetric shapes. And any time you can make a shape in software, you can then fill it with an image that will be truncated to the edge of the shape. We are no longer prisoners of the straight edge ruler. So why don't people do it? I have seen some photographers from the mid-20th century who made round images, but there weren't very many. I don't know any photographers who were working before the age of digital processing who made odd-shaped, not circular, not oval, not quadrilaterals, who made custom shapes, if you will. And again, I don't know why. It would seem to me that since the world is such a non-quadrilateral, non-square, non-round, non-oval shape, that there must be some shapes that we could use to create the outer edges of our photograph that would match what the world is doing. That would seem to be a perfect fit. I first got onto this idea in 2010, so believe it or not, 16 years ago, because I was planning a trip to Japan, and I had run across, strictly coincidentally, a book about fan-shaped woodblock prints by people like Hokusai and Hiroshige. And this book showed the original artwork before the woodblock print, the graphic, if you will, was affixed to the fan to make what's called an uchiwa, or a paddle fan. Think of a ping pong paddle. The shape of those fans was cut out, and then they were glued and affixed somehow to a handle to make this paddle fan. And this book that I was looking at had all kinds of examples of uchiwa designs that had been made all in that paddle fan shape. And I thought, well, if they can do it with a woodblock print, why can't I do it with a photograph? And I drew with a vector graphic a shape that was like the fan shape that I saw in the book, and then made a little tiny cutout of that that I could put on my LCD screen on my camera. And I carried that with me when I was photographing in rural Japan, and when I saw a subject that I thought might work, I slid that little cutout onto the LCD screen of my camera so that I was actually seeing Japan in a fan shape. And I found it was very easy to compose in the landscape that way. Ended up doing a project of about 60 images or so called the Uchiwai Fan Prints. And it was the first time that I had experimented extensively with things that were not quadrilateral rectangles or squares in my photographs. It was easy. It was fun. It opened up the door to round images. And you can see an example of round images in Lenswork number 128, published back in 2017, from Chinese photographer DeLong Xiao. He did an entire project of round images. They're fantastic. They're wonderful. They fit particularly well with his subject matter. That's part of the thing, is not every subject works perfectly in a round frame, but that's where artistic flexibility and artistic sensitivity comes into play. But, and you're probably a step ahead of me, if not every photographic subject works well in a round frame, why do we insist that every photographic subject works well in a quadrilateral frame, a rectangle or a square? Why couldn't we have photographs that are tear-shaped? Why couldn't we have photographs that are maybe square on the bottom, but the sides and the top are not? I'm sure you can see with a little imagination and a little dexterity and practice with the pen tool to create these vector graphic shapes, you could do anything you want. And why not? Why shouldn't we? Is there a rule somewhere that I don't know about that says you must make pictures that are either rectangles or squares? I doubt it. And that brings me to the second topic I want to slip in as a piggyback to non-rectangular images, and that is extreme panoramas. An incredibly fun aspect of digital photography is the possibility of creating extreme panorama photographs by stitching images together to create a seamless image. It's not only interesting, but it's a technique that was virtually impossible to do until fairly recently. And now printing them on roll paper brings panoramas to a physical reality too. One of my first attempts at this was an image with an aspect ratio of 8:1 that I printed as an 8-foot-long photograph that I completed in 2010. I still haven't figured out how to frame it and mat it and exhibit it, but it looks pretty good when I just thumbtack it to the wall. So I guess to sum up, what I'm suggesting here is that if your images tend to be the aspect ratio of your camera, most of you, that aspect ratio will be 3:2 if you're using a DSLR or a mirrorless full-frame camera. 3:2 will be your aspect ratio, unless you make a conscious decision to do something different. Hasselblad users are probably getting square pictures unless you make a conscious decision to do something differently. Micro Four Thirds users, 4:3 aspect ratio, unless you make a conscious decision to do something different. And why not? Now that we have the ability to create photographs in any shape we want, why not? I suppose like any other technique, it can devolve into a gimmick pretty quickly. So it does take some sensitivity to know when this is the right thing to do. But how is that different from any other aesthetic decision that we make? We always have to ask the question, is this the right thing to do? Whether it's dodging or burning or cropping or toning or choosing color or black and white, those are all aesthetic decisions. Why not just add the basic shape of the photograph, rectangle, square, circular, oval, odd-shaped, or whatever else you can dream up? Why not add that to the creative tools that we have available to make our artwork more interesting, more captivating, more noticed, more truthful to the artistic intent we have when we make the photographic artwork?
Copyright 2026, Lenswork Publishing.